Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shor. Maseches Moed Katan has been dedicated to Le'iloi Nishmas, Peril Bas Rabbi Yehoshua Heschel HaKohen.
Moed Katan Daf Tes Zayin. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Minolan de Meshadrin Shlicha de Beidina Umezamninan Leiladina. How do we know that the Bezdin sends a Shliach to summon the Baldin to come and be judged by the Bezdin? The Gemara says, "Vayishlach Moshe likroy ledasin v'laviram bnei Aliyev." Now there are two possible ways to understand what exactly Rava is being mechadish. According to the Nemukah Yosef over here, b'shem the Ravid, and this is the way the Chiddush Eran learns and the Meiri as well. The Gemara is looking for a makar that the dayan is allowed to send a shliach, meaning that the dayan doesn't have to go himself and be mazmin the person ledin. Why would I have thought that the Dayan himself has to go? The Ran explains that I would have thought that perhaps by sending a Shliach, that shows a certain gaiva, it's yuhara, it shows a certain hanhagas surara, meaning that he's asserting his authority over the tzibur too much. So we bring a pasuk to show that he's allowed to send a Shliach. So you see, says the Nemukah Yosef, that the Dayan does not have to be mezalzel himself and go be mazmin, the baldin. However, the Ritva understands the Chiddush of the Gemara differently. He understands that we're not being mechadish that the Dayan is allowed to send a Shliach as opposed to having to come himself and be Mazmin the Baldin. Rather, what we're coming to be mechadish is that the Baldin is not mechuyiv to respond by coming to be Nidoin until the Bezdin sends a Shliach. And that is to say that even if the other Baldin comes to this Baldin and tells him, the Bezdin wants you, and he does it in front of Edim, he's still not chayef to come. Until he receives a summons from the Bezdin themselves, and that could be via a Shliach, but it has to be from the Bezdin, it has to be the Shliach of Bezdin, the person is not mechuyev to show up. Now these two pshatim are according to the girsa that we have. There's a different girsa in the Gemara, and that is the girsa of the Rush. He's goyris minolad de kavinon duchta umishadrinon shlicha de beidina. How do we know that Bezdin is supposed to be kaveya? They're supposed to establish a special place in which to stay, and from that place they send a shliach of the Bezdin. The Karbonisanal understands the Kavonis HaRosh is that we're learning out that the Bezdin is supposed to stay where they are, and they're not allowed to go by themselves. That would be considered a zilzal in the Bezdin. They're supposed to send a shliach. So whereas the Chiddush Eran and the Muki Yosef that we mentioned learn that the limud of the Gemara is that Bezdin is not mechuyev to go on their own. They're allowed to send a shliach. And by sending a shliach, that's not considered asserting their authority over the tzibur too much. The Rush holds that this is the way they're mechuyev to do it. They're not allowed to come by themselves because coming by themselves would be a zilzal in the Bezdin. Now the Gemara then has another shiloh. Uminolan divizamninon ledina. How do we know that we're mazmin the person to din? Now the Bach has a problem with our girsa, because we just asked before, how do we know that Mishadrinon Shlicha de Beidina Umizamnina Leiladina? We included as part of our first question the fact that you're supposed to be Mazmin him Ladin. So why is the Gemara now asking again, how do we know that you're Mizamnina Ladina? So as a result of this, the Bach is Goyris like the Rush that we mentioned. The Rush says in the first child of the Gemara, he's Goyris, how do we know that we're Kavinon Duchta? Umishadrinon shlicha de beidina. How do we know that Bezdin stays in one place and sends a shliach from there? But we never talked about the fact that what the shliach does is he's mizamin the person ledin. Perhaps there's some other message that the shliach has from the Bezdin. The first chiddush was that the Bezdin is not supposed to go out of the Bezdin. They stay in their place and they want to tell somebody something. They send their shliach. And now the second shail of the Gemara is that how do we know that Bezdin is mizamin ledin? Now, according to our girsa, you have to say that the Gemara started out with the first shaila and said, "Menolan de mishadrinan shlicha de beidina umezamninan leiladina." The Gemara at that point was not really bringing a pasuk for those two dinim. The Gemara was only bringing a pasuk vayishlach Moshe likrei ledasim v'laviram, which is a pasuk that shows that we're mishadrinan shlicha de beidina. We opened up the question by first mentioning both nekudas, both dinim, menolan de mishadrinan shlicha de beidina umezamninan. But then we split it up. We first bring a makar that we're mishadrin and shlicha, and then the Gemara goes back to the second point and asks minolan de mizamnin and ledina. Perhaps had we not said it that way, one wouldn't have understood exactly why is the Bezdin sending a shliach b'chlal. But it's only from the second pasuk that we see that mizamin el ladina, because the Gemara brings the pasuk vayem moishel kairach atav chaladaska, you and the whole Eda should appear in front of Hashem. Furthermore, it could be that even though in the first pasuk it does say that Moshe sent likroi ladasim v'lavirim, which sounds like he was being mazmin them, he was summoning them to come in front of Bezdin, the Gemara still has to bring the second pasuk to show that when you're mazmin somebody, you can't just tell him, come to the Bezdin. You have to be mazmin him ledin. Part of the message has to be, I want you to come for the purpose of being mizdayin, of being judged in front of the Bezdin. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Lekame gaver rabba." How do you know that when you're mazmin the person to din, you have to let him know that it's in front of so and so, who is a gaver rabba, an adam gadol, dichsiv lifnei Hashem, because Moshe told him you should be in front of Hashem. Now from this, the Namuki Yosef b'shem the Ravid understands that what was happening here was that Moshe Rabbeinu was the shliach of Hashem. So when we say that, how do we know that you use a shliach to yamazmin, the person ledin, the dayan was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe was the shliach, and that's where the Gemara says, l'kami gaver rabba, and it refers to Hashem. So earlier, when the Gemara brought the pasuk Vayishlach Moshe, Likrei Ladasim V'Lavirim, at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu was sending a message, and Moshe was the dayan. But in this pasuk, at a later stage, Moshe was talking directly to Korach. Vayomer Moshe al Korach, Atovach al Adoscha. He was telling them a message on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Atovach al Adoscha, Heyu Lefnei Hashem. So that is how the Muki Yosef says, B'Shem Derived. However, the Namuki Yosef himself explains differently. He disagrees with the Ravid's pshat. He understands that Moshe was not the shliach on behalf of Hashem, who was the dayan. Rather, Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu both were the dayanim. And Moshe over here, as dayan, was sending a shliach. Who was the shliach? He was sending Korach to call the rest of the Eda and to come be mizdayan lefnei Hashem. And the limud of the Gemara is that when the dayan sends the message through his shliach, he's supposed to send a message that the nidoin, the person, the baldin, who's being judged, should come in front of the one who is the mumcha of the bezdin, the greatest one of the bezdin, which, of course, in this case, meant HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe, as one of the dayanim, sent a message through Korach to the rest of the Eda to come and be judged in front of Hashem, who is the gadol of the bezdin. So this is significant because according to the Namuki Yosef's pshat, we see a makar that even if one of the dayanim is sending the message, that dayan has to make sure to send a message to come in front of the greatest one of the bezdin. Masha Enkein, according to the Ravid's pshat, we don't necessarily see that you always have to be mazben that he should come in front of the greatest one of the bezdin. Because according to the Ravid's pshat, Moshe was not playing the role of dayan, that we could prove that one of the dayanim has to say, come in front of the greater one of the dayanim. According to the way he's learning, the one who was sending the message was Kaviyachal Hashem, Moshe was acting as his shliach, and the shliach just has to say, in front of Pliny who is a dayan. It's possible that if a different dayan would be sending the message, then the shliach could say, come in front of that dayan. Gavra Rabba does not necessarily mean the gadol of the bezdin, according to his pshat. The Gemara goes on and says, At Uplanya, how do we know that the Nusach, when we're Mazmin, the person, Ladin, has to be you and your opponent, the other Baldin, and we have to single out who the other Baldin is, should come in front of the Bezdin? So that's how the Ritva learns. He says that from here you see that you have to let him know, you have to let the Nitva know who is the Teiveya. When you send a message to the defendant, you have to tell him who the plaintiff is. And the reason for that is, says the Ritva, that it's only fair to give the Nitva a chance to prepare himself for this Din Torah. Furthermore, it's possible that the Nitva can find a means to be Mefayes the Teiveya. He could go over to him and come to some sort of compromise and get him to withdraw his claim. Now, how much is it that we have to allow the defendant to prepare himself for the Din Torah? What our Gemara says explicitly is that we only have to be megalat to him who the plaintiff is. Who is the other baldin who's being teveihim ledin? Do we have to tell him what his claim is? From the Lashon of the Ritva, it would be mashma that you do, because the Ritva says not only do we have to give him a chance to go and be mefayis him, he says also that he should be yitain elibay masha yoshed loy bedin. He has to figure out what it is that he can answer in the Din Torah. So he has to prepare himself. Now, if he doesn't know what the claim is, how can he prepare himself for the Din Torah? Now, this is actually a machlokes hapoiskim. In Chashamishvat Simen Yud Aleph, Sifkat and Aleph, the Shach brings down the Be'er Sheva. And the Be'er Sheva says that you do not have to be megala to the nitva what it is that the plaintiff is asking for. The Be'er Sheva is actually not talking about somebody who's being summoned to Beis Din on behalf of the Beis Din. He's actually talking about a case in which Reuven comes to Shimon and says, I want you to be Be'er Dayanim together with me. And Shimon says, I will not go to a Din Torah with you unless you tell me first what it is that your claim is. So the Be'er Sheva brings down from the Gemara in Perek Cheskes Sabatim that says the Lashon that Ovid Inish de Lemegalitai Nosai Chutz Le Beis Din. Which means that the derech is for a person outside Beis Din not to reveal his tainus, because a person would rather that his opponent not know what it is that he's going to taina in the Beis Din. So based on that Gemara, says the Be'er Sheva, you don't have to be megala your tainus, so even when you ask the person to come to the Beis Din, you don't have to let him know what it is that you want to claim. However, the Shach disagrees with the Be'er Sheva. He says it's not true. The Gemara in Bava Basra, in Perkas Abatim, from which the Be'er Sheva proves his point, says the Shach, is not a raya. The Gemara over there is saying that if two people are having a discussion, they're conversing outside of Beis Din, and they're discussing the issue which they later go into Beis Din and have their Din Torah about. So Reuven tainis something to Shimon, and Shimon does not respond with any response. Later on, while he's in the Beis Din, Shimon all of a sudden responds with this new response. So the Gemara says, is there a raya from the fact that earlier in their conversation, Shimon did not mention this taina? Why is it that in their conversation, he didn't tell him the taina that he has, and later on in the Beis Din, all of a sudden, he seems to have dreamt up a new taina? So do we have the right to say that there's something fishy about the taina that he's tining now? He must have now been mamtzied and he didn't think of it before. And that the Gemara says, no, Ovid inish delo megala tainasi chutz le-Beis Din. Anything that I don't have to say, I won't say. But that doesn't mean that in general, when you're teveya a person to Beis Din, you don't have to tell him what is the noise, what is the subject of the Din Torah. It may be true that you don't have to let him know all of the tainas that you're going to use, but he has to know what he's being summoned to din for. That is the shita of the Shach. From the Igros Moshe, in Chelik Reshem Mishpat, Chelik Beisim and Vav, you see, he says, Beferish, that me'ekar ad-din, we paskin like the Shach. Over there, Moshe is mechadish, that there are certain instances where you do not have to tell the nidoin, the nitva, what it is that he has to come to Beis Din for, and that is in a case where we believe that there is no tzad that by telling him what he's coming for, things would change. Because since the whole reason why you have to tell him is, like we said before, he has to be prepared, maybe go be mafias him, if that all would be the same after telling him, and there's no suffix that things would change, then you don't have to megala what it is that he has to come to Beis Din for. The Gemara says, the kav'inan zimna, how do we know that we're kaveya a time? D'chsiv machar, what that means is that we don't surprise the person and say, come right now to Beis Din. Even a day is enough time for him to be misader his tainus and be prepared for the court case. Zimna, basar zimna, how do we know that the person is supposed to be summoned more than once? If he doesn't come after the first summons, then we do it again. D'chsiv karu sham, parei melech mitzrayim sha'oin hevir hamoyed. Now Rashi understands what we mean over here is Karu Sham is a Lashon Shamta, that we put the person in Cherem if he doesn't come to Beis Din, but we only put him into Cherem when it was Hever HaMoyed, which is the second time that we asked them to come to Beis Din. And the Sefer Benayo explains that the reason why this is mashma, that it's the second time, is because it says HaMoyed and it doesn't say Hever Moyed. That's mashma a second time. The Rashash, on the other hand, understands that the Lashon Hevir has the connotation not only of passage of time, which would be mashma one time, rather it's mashma the passage of going from point A to point B in time. He says, just like Lashon Havara, when you refer to distance in Mukim, it means to be over mi mukim le mukim. So too, when you use the terminology ha'avara, when referring to time, it has to be from point A to point B. And therefore, it has to be that there was an original time that was set, and now it was passed from one point to the next point, which is the second time that was designated. The Ritva, though, learns differently. The Ritva says that the story that happened was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzaveh Nebuchadnezzar to come and destroy Mitzrayim at a certain designated point. And then he didn't come, he didn't do it. And therefore, Parei and Mitzrayim were smechim, mavirin koil sha'in, that's described in the Pasuk, since the Moed has passed, meaning the time that was designated for them to be destroyed came and went. Nevertheless, says the Ritva, you see that it's not as if Hashem was mevatel l'shlichus. He did it again, because in the end, Nebuchadnezzar did come and destroy Mitzrayim. So you see that even though the person doesn't show up the first time, we still do it after that. Now, even though in our Gemara, it would seem that we only try twice, and after the person does not show up to Beis Din the second time, we put him into Cheirim. In the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, it's mashma that we give him an extra time. The Gemara over there says that we're kaveya azman for Yom Sheni b'Shabbos. Monday is the first day that Beis Din usually is operative during the week. If he doesn't come, then we are mazbin him for the following Thursday. And if he doesn't come, then we are mazbin him for the next Monday. After he doesn't show up the third time, then we put him into Cheirim. And that's actually the psak in the Shulchan Aruch. We give him three times. Even though our Gemara only seems to bring him a kar for a second time, it's not really a steer, because all the Gemara says is that minolan, that we're kaveya zimna basar zimna. How many times? The Gemara doesn't really say. So why is it that we decide to be marchiv this din to three times? We could say very simply, the whole reason why we give him another time is because we're toila that perhaps the fact that he didn't show up to Beis Din wasn't an intentional thing. Maybe some sort of oinus came up. Now that's something we're willing to say once, and we could say even a second time. After the third time, though, we usually would say that there's a chazakah. Instead of assuming that an oinus happened each of the three times, it makes more sense to say that the person has a pattern that he doesn't show up to Beis Din when we send him a summons. And that is the mashmos of the Rishonim over there in Bava Kamma. We could even go so far as to say that our Gemara, which only brings a makar for a second time, could be holds like the Mandi Amr that betrays Zimni, Havi Chazaka. There's a machlokes all over Shas between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe whether a Chazaka happens after three times or after two times. So if you paskin like Rebbe, then of course you would only send it twice. But since we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in most cases, so we send it a third time. Continues the Gemara. According to Rashi, what this means is that he was mecharef the shliach Beis Din. He talked with chutzpah towards the shliach Beis Din, and the shliach comes and tells us that he was mecharef me, he was mevazim me, he was meschatzef, he talked with chutzpah towards me. That is not considered lashon hara. Rashi in Ksav Yad, however, understands that what we're referring to is that he said his lashon of chutzpah towards the Beis Din. He didn't say things of chutzpah to the shliach Beis Din. He was meschatzef, and he said some derogatory comments about the Beis Din in front of the shliach Beis Din. And the truth is that from the Makar the Gemara brings, it would sound more like that shita, because it says in the Gemara, "Dechsiva eini ha'noshim ha'im tenaker," which the Gemara over here seems to understand to mean that they were referring to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. It is from this Gemara that the Chavetz Chaim in Klal Aleph, Sivkot and Aleph, Neber Mayim Chaim, proves that a person is not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about somebody else, even if it's the complete truth. Because you see over here that the only reason why it's mutter is because there's a special heter for the shliach Beis Din, although it was the truth. And why indeed is it mutter to say Lashon Hara in such a situation? Says the Ritva, because we have to make sure that people aren't mezalzel with Beis Din. Now several achronim asked the kasha, that what's the raya from the case of Korach v'Adasai, that the shliach is allowed to say over that which the person said to him, if he was mecharef the Beis Din. Perhaps the reason why it was mutter for the shliach to repeat it over there is because the Yerushalmi in Peah, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, says Lehedya, that it's mutter to speak Lashon Hara on Bali Machloikis. So since they were Bali Machloikis, maybe that was the reason why it was mutter to speak Lashon Hara about them. This kasha is mentioned by the Gilui Nashas over there in Yerushalmi, B'Shem the Chsam Sofer, as well as in the Shas Tshuvas Yehuda Yale, Arachayim Simresh Yud Gimel. The Gilyan Hashas says a very big yisoid to answer the question. He says the heter that Yerushalmi says, that you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara on Bali Machloikis, is only if it has some sort of purpose in terms of minimizing the Machloikis. If the speaking of Lashon Hara is L'te'elis, then you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara. But over here, without the special chiddush that the Shliach Beis Din is allowed to go and report back to the Beis Din what the person says, we would not have allowed the Shliach Beis Din to speak Lashon Hara based on the fact that there were Bali Machloikis, because this would not help necessarily to get rid of the Machloikis in any way. The Chasam Sofer says that the whole heter to speak Lashon Hara on a Bal Machloikis is only the first time, to let everybody know that he's a Bal Machloikis. But to stam speak Lashon Hara on a Bal Machloikis, you're not allowed to do. However, the Tertmima actually learns that the Yerushalmi that says that you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara on a Baal Machlokes is gufa the reason for our Gemara. Because the person who's mispaker bebezdin is considered a Baal Machlokes. He's being choylik on the bezdin. So it's not like we're dealing with two separate chedushim here. It's all one yisoid that you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara on a Baal Machlokes. The Ian Yaakov actually gives a very interesting teretz. He says that the Gemara's haychacha, that the shliach is allowed to repeat back the words of the Baal Din to the Bezdin, even though it is Lashon Hara, is not from the fact that the shliach actually repeated his words, because for that we can answer that you're allowed to talk Lashon Hara on a Baal Machlokes. The raya is from the fact that Korach told it to the shliach, because we know that Korach only told it to the shliach because he wanted the shliach to say it over to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now Korach himself did not consider himself a Baal Machlokes, and yet he was confident that the shliach would go and repeat it back to Moshe Rabbeinu. The only way that it could have been confident is if the din is that you could say over what the Baal Din said to the Bezdin. Continues the Gemara, Uminolan de Mishamtinan. How do we know that we're allowed to make a shamta? Now, there's actually a machlokes over here, machlokes rishonim, if what the Gemara means to say is how do we know that we could put the person who's misarev to come to the Bezdin in a shamta, or that this is just a general makar, that Bezdin has the power to put a shamta on anybody who they see fit. The Ritva learns that we're talking about a person who's being misarev, and Minolan, how do we know that you could put him into a shamta? And that's the way the Meiri learns as well. However, the Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perek of Dalet, Alach Zayin, is mashba that this is stam a makar that Bezdin can put a shamta on a person when they see fit. Now, there's also machlokes rishonim, what exactly a shamta is. According to the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Zayin, Alach Beis, shamta is just this lashon for nidui. However, the Ravid learns that you should not use the word shamta when you're putting somebody into a nidui, because he learns that there are three separate categories. There's nidui, there's shamta, and there's cheirim. Nidui has the regular dinei harchaka that we learned about. A shamta has an addition. We're mekalel the person with a klilas mavis. And in fact, that's where the word shamta comes from. Shem misa. The Gemara then says, the hachi svara de gavra rabba. How do you know that you're supposed to say not only that we're putting you into a shamta, but you have to specify that this is the svara of the gavra rabba? Dichsiv omar malach Hashem. Now, it seems that Rashi has the girsa, hachi svara de gavra planya. Not only do you have to make it clear that it's a gavra rabba who wants him in a shamta, you have to actually say who it is, which gavra rabba wanted to put him into the shamta. The Ran explains, because if you don't say which Gavra Rabba it was, then he doesn't know whether he should take you seriously or not. If he says the name of the Dayan that wanted to place the Shamta on him, then he could go to that Dayan. So the person really wouldn't lie about such a thing. But to say it without a name, it could be that the Shliach Bezdin made it up. Uminolan de Machreminan. How do we know that we put the person into a Cherim? The Ran, the Meiri, and the Muki Yosef explain that what this Gemara means is that if after twice the person didn't respond to a nidui, then we have to take a more extreme position and we put him into a cherim. The difference between a cherim and a nidui or a shamta is that with a cherim, he's usher to have any anah from all people except for the bare minimum of what he needs in order to live. The Gemara asks, Minola de mafkirinan l'nichsei. How do we know that we're mafkir the nechassim? Rashi explains we're talking about being mafkir the nechassim, not necessarily of somebody who's in a nidoy. Rather, how do we know that Bezdin has the right to be mafkir the nechassim of somebody that doesn't listen to them? So when they see fit to do so, they are allowed to be mafkir as nechassim. The Gemara brings a pasuk in Sefer Nechemiah, dechsiv v'chol ha'shal ha'yavid l'shloishis ha'yamim ba'atzasa sarim v'azkenim yachrim kol ruchushay. This was not a story that happened when anybody was being put in a nidoy or a cherim. What happened was that Ezra wanted people to divorce non-Jewish women that they married. So he made an announcement that anybody who doesn't come to the gathering in Yerushalayim during the three-day period that he gave them, which was set in order that they should get people to divorce their wives, will forfeit all of his property. Rashi says, "De hefker bezdin hefker mehacha nafkalon b'chol duchti." This is the makar in all places for the din of hefker bezdin hefker. Now, quite a few achronim ask on Rashi that if you look in the Gemara in Yevamos, the Gemara in Gittin, you'll see that more than one pasuk is brought down as the makar for hefker bezdin hefker. There's a sheet of Rabbi Lazar who learns out the din of hefker bezdin hefker from the pasuk in Yeshua, Eila hanachlis asher nachla Lazar koyim v'Yeshua ben Nun v'Rashi ha'avos l'matos bnei Yisrael. You see that that's the makar according to him that Chazal have the power over money, and they have the ability to be makne property to people. The Gemara darshens from the fact that it says the word Rashiya Avos in that pasuk. Why does that say Rashiya Avos? Loimer lach ma Avos manchilin livneim. Just like Avos have the ability to be manchil to their children, kol mashe yirtzu af Rashim manchilin esam kol mashe yirtzu. So why is it that Rashi over here says that this is the makar for Hefker Bez and Hefker all over? It's really a machlokes. Do we learn it out from the pasuk of Yachrim kol Ruchushe or from the pasuk of Eila Nachlis? So the Maritzchias answers that we really need both psukim, because he says the ikker din of hefker bezin hefker, which is that the chacham have the koyach to mafkia mammon, to take mammon away from a person and to make it hefker, which is the lashon hefker bezin hefker, that we learn now from this pasuk of Yochem kol Ruchushay. But there's another dimension of hefker bezin hefker which you need the pasuk in Sefer Yeshua for, and that is that the chacham have the koyach to mezakeh somebody with mammon. Even after we know that it's hefker, how do we know that you could make it into somebody's, give a person bailus? You could be mafkia bailus, but how do you know you could create bailus? That we learn from the pasuk of Eila Hanachlis. And that is actually the shita of the Yamshel Shloimer in Yevamos Perek Yud Siman Yud Tes, who also understands that from the pasuk of Yochem Kol Ruchushay, all you have the right to be mechadish is that Bezin has the koyach to be mafkia moment. And from the pasuk of Eila Nachlis, you see that Bezin could be makna moment. However, the way the Yamshel Shloimer understands is that it's really a machlokes between the two mandiyamrim in the Gemara over there in Yevamos and in Gittin. Meaning that the mandiyamrim who learns it out from the pasuk of Yochem Kol Ruchushay, he holds that all Bezin has the koyach to do is to be mafkia moment, but not to be makna. Nashen ki the man yomer learns it out from the pasuk of Eila Nachlis or Belozer. Bezin has the koyach even to be makna. The Rashba in Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav, also learns that it's a machloikis between the two shitas. The Levush in the Ir Shushan Simen Samach Zayin, Sif Aleph and Sif Vav, says a very surprising thing. He says that if you learn out Hefker Bezin Hefker from the pasuk of Eila Nachlis, like a Belozer, then Hefker Bezin Hefker is a din Torah. He says the Eila Nachlis is b'Torah ksiv, meaning that he's understanding that the machloik is between the two shitas. Whether you learn out the din Hefker Bezin Hefker from the pasuk in Sefer Nechemya, which is Yochem Kol Ruchushay, our pasuk, or you learn out from the pasuk of Eila Nachlis, is really a machlokes as to whether Hefker Bezin Hefker is a din d'oraisa or not. If you learn it out from the pasuk in Sefer Nechemya, then it can't be a din d'oraisa because we have a klal, divrei Torah, midivrei Kabbalah, le'alfina. But if you learn it out from the pasuk of Eila Nachlis, then it's a din Torah. The Hagoyis of Rabbi Tzal Ransburg in Gittin, Daf Lama Vav Mebeis, brings down this Levush, and he says, it's a Pella. Bitzarach Ian. The Ein Zeh Pasuk Torah, Kiyim Bi Yeshua. This is a Pasuk in Sefer Yeshua. So how could you say that it's a Din Torah because it's a Pasuk in the Torah? So how in the world could we be Miyashiv this Levush? So perhaps we could say as follows. The fact that we use the terminology when we discuss the Din, that you can't learn out Dinim D'Oraisa from what's written in Navi, we use the terminology divrei Torah, medivrei Kabbalah, lo yalfinan. Where do those terms come from? So the emphasis is that there's a Rashi in Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, that says the following. He says, Toras Moshe kruya Torah, lefi shenitna Torah ledoiris. Toras Moshe is referred to as Torah because it was given for all generations. V'shal neviim loikari el Kabbalah, shekiblu meruach hakodesh kol nevua unevua lefi tzorech hashav v'ador v'hamaiseh. The Lashon Torah means Hayrah, teaching us how things should be. That teaching goes l'doiris. But Kabbalah is the term used for neviim, because neviim is not something that was given l'doiris, it was only for that particular dar. Each nevua lefi tzorech hashav v'ador v'hamaiseh. Lefize would make a lot of sense that the reason why divrei Torah midivrei Kabbalah le'alfinan is because of the difference in the character of the two. Since Torah is something that's there that's nitzchi, something that's there ledoiris, and Kabbalah is only lefi the shav hador v'amaisa, so you can't learn out something that's meant to be ledoiris from neviim, which is only a temporary thing. Now the Gemara says in Nedarim daf chav beis mebeis, Il Malichot Yisrael, Lenitna Lahem Ella Chamisha Chumshe Torah V'Sefer Yeshua Bilvad. Had Klal Yisrael not sinned, they would have only received Chamisha Chumshe Torah V'Sefer Yeshua. Because Sefer Yeshua, the Gemara says, Archa Shalaretz Yisrael Hu. The reason why rest of the Nevuah was given was only for Musar, because they were Choyte. So from this Gemara you see that although Nevi'im is something that was only given Lefi Ashav Ador V'Maiseh, it was a response to the Chatoim of that particular Dor, Sefer Yeshua is not included in that rule, because it says had they not sinned, they would have still gotten Sefer Yeshua. Chamisha Chamisha Torah V'Sefer Yeshua Bilvat. So if we're right in our explanation as to why you cannot learn out Divrei Torah from Divrei Kabbalah, it's because Divrei Kabbalah is only given for that Dor, since we see in the Gemara Nedarim that Yeshua was not given specifically for that Dor, it was given L'doiris, so it would make sense that the klal of Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah Yofinan doesn't apply to Sefer Yeshua. If that's true, although it's a very big chiddush, it would be miyashiv the Levush. Because Levush is saying that the difference between the man d'yomer that learns out Hefker Bezen Hefker from the pasuk of Yochem Kol Rechusha, which is a pasuk in Sefer Nehemiah, or the man d'yomer who learns out the din of Hefker Bezen Hefker from Eila Nachlis, which is a pasuk in Sefer Yeshua, the difference is whether it's Dairaisa or not. The man d'yomer learns it out from Sefer Yeshua, he says it's a din Torah. So we said that the kash on that is that it's in Sefer Yeshua. The answer is that something from Sefer Yeshua doesn't necessarily have to be seen as not a Daraisa. It could be considered a Din Torah, since it's not covered by the rule of Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah Le'alfina. This actually would answer a lot of other questions, such as the Rishonim in the Darm Daf Ches, who seem to learn out the Din Daraisa of Limud Torah from Vagisa Bayom Valaila, which is a Pasuk in Sefer Yeshua, and the Dinim of Moed B'Malchus, which you learn out from Psukim in Sefer Yeshua. But certainly to Mimiyashiv the Levush, who's talking about Nachlis, which the Gemara says is Erchus Shel Eretz Yisrael, that's the reason why we still have Sefer Yeshua, even had they not sinned, we could explain Alpi this Pshat. The Gemara continues, Uminolun Dinatzinon V'Laitinon Umachinon. How do we know that we fight and we curse and we hit? We even pull people's hair out and we force them to swear. This is a pasuk again in Nehemiah, where Nehemiah wanted to make sure that people stopped their conduct of being married to non-Jewish women. And he took these measures to ensure that they would stop, they would discontinue this behavior and be mekabel on themselves, lahabot, to act differently. Now, concerning the fact that he said that he made them swear, mashbi'inon, the Rambam paskins in Perek of Dalid, Hilchas Sanhedrin, Halacha Ches, v'chein yesh l'dayin, lases meriva, im haroi lo riv imoy, that's the natzinon, l'kal loy, l'akoysiv, l'tlish sari, just like it says in our Gemara. U'la hashbi'a b'leikim ba'al karchoy, shaloy ya'ase, oy shaloy osa, that he will not do in the future, and also we force him to swear that he didn't do. If he claims that he didn't marry a non-Jewish woman, we force him to swear that this is the case. So the Chazanishin Chashem Mishpat in Likutim Simen Beis Ois Gimel asks, what is the point in forcing a person to make a shvuah? There is a rule in Shvuas, the Gemara in Shvuas, Daf Chavav Med Aleph brings down this halacha, that you need ha'adam b'shvuah, which means that a person's never chayef for a shvuah if he made the shvuah under, let's say, a false impression. The Gemara over there in Shavuos is talking about Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Both of them heard something from Rav, and they were arguing what it was that Rav said. And each one made a Shavuah that Rav said like him. Of course, one of them was wrong. But the Gemara says that it was not considered a Shavuah Sheker because it was an Oinus. So certainly when somebody's being forced to make a Shavuah, he's not over the din of Shavuah. So what's the point in making the Shavuah? So the Chazon Ish answers that since a person is mitzvah not to do the Aveira, like marrying a non-Jewish woman, and we find that there is a concept of making a shvuah lezeruze nafshe, the Gemara in the Darm Daf Chesamid Aleph talks about the pasuk of Nishbati Vakayema, that David HaMelech was Nishba in order to encourage himself to do mitzvahs, and even though he's Mushba Vayim Ersine, the shvuah still takes effect. So whenever a person is making a shvuah to do the right thing, the shvuah does take effect, and it's not called nidrei oinsin, even though he's being forced to make that shvuah. And what it seems that the Chazon Ish is saying is that even though a person who is forced to do a shvuah, he's forced to say the words, it's not considered a shvuah, when that shvuah is a shvuah in order for him to do the right thing, to do a mitzvah, then even when he's forced, it is a shvuah, because deep down the person wants to do the right thing. However, all this only helps for a shvuah in the future. Now, the Rambam says more than that. He says that we make the person swear, shaloi yase, oi shaloi asa, that he didn't do it in the past. As the Chazon Ish says, how could that make any sense? That's definitely not lezeruze nafshe. He's not causing himself, he's not encouraging himself to do the right thing. He's just talking about the past. Therefore, the Chazon Ish says that there must be a Tosafot from the Rambam. There's a printing error. And what it should say is, Sheyase oy shelo yase. Not shelo yase or shelo yasa. Rather, the shvua that he makes is Sheyase, which means that he'll divorce her if he's married to her, or shelo yase, that he won't marry the non-Jewish woman in the future. The Gemara explains what Hardafa means. Hardafa, says the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda Breda of Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. Minadin le'alter, we put him into a nidui right away. Vishoinin le'achar shloshim, we do that again after 30 days. Umachrimin le'achar shishim. Now, Rabbi Yashiv asks in the Ha'aris printed from him on Moed Katan, why is it that we put him to nidui again? Since he didn't do tshuva after the first time, the nidui doesn't go away. Even after 30 days, it doesn't go away. Because even when a person does do tshuva during the Lamed Yoim, there's a nidin in the Gemara whether we're matir it right away as soon as he does tshuva or only after 30 days. But one thing's for sure, the nidui doesn't go away on its own. We have to be matir it. And since over here the person didn't do tshuva, there's no reason to be matir it. So why is it that we're putting into a nidui again? Answers Rabbi Yashiv that ein echanami mitzad the actual hanhagas adinim, the fact that we treat him the way you treat a person who's in a nidui, we don't have to place another nidui on him. He's already in the din of a nidui, and we're not going to be matter the nidui, so we'll remain benidui. However, since the Gemara later on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph says that when you make a nidui, there's also a klola that's chal in the person's bones, as before the Gemara over there. So to make another nidui means to add a klala. Klalas you could add, a klala a la klala. Now concerning the issue of klalas, the Minchas Chinuch says in Mitzvah Reish Lamed Aleph, that even though the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Peheim Aleph, that if a person's Mekalal a Rasha, he's Potter, because the Pasuk says, V'nasi ba'amcha lo'y so'ar, and we darshan ba'amcha, it has to be a person who is oisem masay amcha. That's what we darshan from the word ba'amcha. He has to be somebody who acts like he's me'amcha, like he is a Jew, and that means not a Rasha. Nevertheless, that doesn't mean that it's not usser. It is usser. You're not chayiv when you do it, and that's what it means many times when Chazal say putter, it means putter aval usser. And he even goes so far as to ask the kasha, how was Elisha allowed to be mekalel the boys in Melachim Beis, Perek Beis, since he maintains that there is an iser to be mekalel even a Rasha. The Marsha in Soita Daf Mem Vav Me Beis also maintains that there's an iser to be mekalel a Rasha, just like the Minchas Chinuch. In the Sefer Yisoid V'Sher Shavoyde in Shara Koil Perek Zayin, he brings from a Medrash HaNelam that it's iser to daven for Rishayim that they should leave the world, that they should die. Because if Hashem would have taken Terech away from the world while he was being Oved Avodah Zarah, loy ba Avram Avinu loyolam shifti Yisrael loy hayu vaMelech David uMelech Mashiach vaTorah loy nitna. A lot of good things that came out of Terech would never have happened had he been removed from the world. However, the Chazon Ish in Sanhedrin Simen Chaf Sifkat and Yud says that if a person is over an Avera b'mezid, in Avera for which it's mutter to put him into a nidui for, then it's mutter to be mekalel him as well. And it brings a raya from our sugya. You see that we're actually mekalel the Avera. And that was one of the things we said before, laitinon, that we curse them. And as we just said, that you're mekalel the person by adding a nidui on him, you're moisef klala al klala. And he brings various places in Shas where you see that the Amiroim were mekalel people who are over Avera. He even goes a step further and says that you can be mekalel b'shem. You can use Hashem's name, just like Elisha was mekalel those boys with Hashem's name. And the Chazon Ish explains that the reason why we find such a thing, that the Meram were mekalel people in many places, is because it's a chiyuv to make sure that there's kavod haTorah and that people do not grow accustomed to being mezalzel in Talmid HaChachamim. In the Sefer Shefa Chaim as well, in the Mechtavim, in Chiluk Aleph, Mechtav Mem Hei, he's also in agreement to the Chazon Ish about this issue. However, he points out that the heter to be mekalel a Rasha is only true while he's still alive, not when he's dead already. Because while he's still alive, there's a te'eles in being mekalel him so that people should stay away from him, and he will not be able to convince people to do averus and have a bad influence on others. But once he's dead, and he cannot have an influence on other people, then it's important to try to save his neshama as much as possible. And so one should not be mekalel him then. That's why he said you should only say Yemach Shemoi by Amalek, where we have a tzivoy to be moicha their name. So it comes out they have machloikis between the Mechas Chinuch and the Marsha, who hold that it's usser to be mekalal an Adam Rasha, and the Chazanish and Shefachayim will hold that it's mutter to be mekalal an Adam Rasha kolzman that he's alive. Now, lefi the Mechas Chinuch and the Marsha, why is it that in our sugya we find that Bezdin is allowed to be mekalal an Adam Rasha? So you have to say that that's only a function of Bezdin. Just like we find Bezdin is allowed to do other things. They're allowed to hit an individual for an einish, even though we're not allowed to hit. It's an issur d'oraisa to hit another Jew. So too, they're allowed to be mekalel if they see fit, because they have that control over people. The Gemara brings down a story. There was a certain butcher who was mevaze Rav Tuvi bar Masna. Imnu alei Abaye v'Rava v'shamtuhu. So Abaye and Rava got together and they put him into a nidui. L'soif azol paisil baldine. Then this man went and he was mefayis Rav Tuvi bar Masna. Am Rabbi Heich Leavid, what should we do? Lishri lei? Should we be matter the nidui? L'chal shamta leit losa yoimin. It wasn't 30 days yet. But if we're not going to be matter, kabor rabban lameo. People want to go into his store and buy meat. So amar le l'rav idi bar oven midi shmir lech paha. Do you have any kabbalah legabi this story? Amar le hachi amar rav tachlifa bar avimi amar shmul tut asar v'tut shari. Rashi explains what that means is that the same shofar that was menadahim is the shofar that could be matir the cheirim as well. Tut is a lashon that refers to the noise that the shofar makes. Now, why is he using this Lashon? The Ran and the Meiri explain, because the whole reason why it's important not to be matir anidui before 30 days are over is because of the chshash that perhaps somebody will be aware of the nidui, but not of the heter. If it's not a publicized heter, then people will know that this person is a nidui. They won't know that we were matir the nidui. And when they see people not separating themselves from him and not being noyig with him the way you're supposed to when a person is in a nidui, they'll start being mekel in the whole inyan of nidui, because they'll see that it's not such a serious thing. Therefore, says our Gemara, if you use a shofar to bring about the heter, then whoever was there and was able to hear the shofar that put him into a nidui will also hear the shofar that's being matter him. If you're matter idea shofar, then you have the same publicity as when he was put into a nidui. However, the Ritva disagrees with this, and he says that when it says tut aser v'tut shari, it is just a melitza ba'alma. Because he says we never use the shofar when we're matir a nidui. That's just not how it's done. And it's just a figure of speech. Just like we brought about the nidui with the shofar, so we say tut aser v'tut shari, even though it's not a shofar that's being used when you're matir the nidui. The Ritva then brings another pshat, b'shem the toisvis, and we do have this toisvis in Menachas Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, that tut aser v'tut shari is not referring to the noise that the shofar makes. Rather, tut is another way of saying two, the number two. Just like we find by the taitofos, by the tefillin. Rashi over there, Al-Toyer and the Gemara Menachas brings down tat b'katvi shtayim. In the Lashon Katvi, the word tat means two. And so tut aser v'tut shari means a pair of Talmid HaChamim. We see over here that Abaya and Rava were a pair, a zug of Talmid HaChamim. Two Talmid HaChamim that were menadehim. So you can have a pair of Talmid HaChamim being matir the nidui as well. The Gemara relates how one time Rebbe was geyser that one should not teach Talmidim publicly. You shouldn't teach Talmidim b'shuk. My dorish chamuke yerechayach k'mechaloim, my yerech b'seiser, af divrei Torah b'seiser. Divrei Torah is something that requires being hidden on a certain level. Yotza Reb Chiya v'shana l'shnei b'nei echav b'shuk. However, Reb Chiya, who was a Talmud of Rebbe, he went and he taught his two nephews in the shuk, in a public place. And at the end of the story, Rebbe asks Reb Chiya, why is it that you went against my psak? Reb Chiya tells him, because it says in the pasuk, Chachmis b'chutz t'roina, and they discuss how to darshan the psukim. In the Shalos HaTshuvos Ma'arik, in the Tshuvos HaChadoshim, Simon Yud Beis, he uses this gemara to show a very important yesod. Over there he is writing against the Rabbanim that try to exert their authority over their Talmidim too much. He says this happens to the extent that people think that if somebody learned under a Rebbe when he was younger, he's always kafuf to the person and he cannot be choylik on him in anything. And even if the Talmud becomes greater than the Rebbe, they think that the person is never allowed to be choylik on his Rebbe. Says the Marik, even though it's true that he has to show kavod to his Rebbe, he has to stand up for the Rebbe or tear kriya after that Rebbe, But b'mila d'shmaya, if he thinks that his Rebbe is making a mistake in a dvar halacha, then he has every right to be choylik on his Rebbe. And he brings a raya from our sugya. Reb Chiya obviously felt that Rebbe was wrong with his psak saying that you should not teach Torah publicly. And he had a different way of learning the psukim from which Rebbe made his drasha, even though Reb Chiya was clearly a Talmud of Rebbe's. In the Shalos HaTshuvos Radvaz, in Chilik Aleph Simen Tov Tzadik Hei, he says that a person should not be choylik on his Rebbe, kederech hacholkim lenatzeach es rabbi. In other words, it shouldn't be in a way that he wants to win over his Rebbe. Rather, he should just present the rayas in front of his Rebbe. And if his Rebbe accepts him, fine. If not, he should be quiet. He should not even say, kach nirali. That wouldn't be derech eretz. And he's also not allowed to say to other people, my Rebbe is matir, but I am oyser. Tosfos in Nida daf Yudal Rebbe Beis the Ramaschal Mai also brings down the fact that we find many Talmidim that were choylik on their Rebbeim. The Trumas HaDeshen in Simon Reish Lamed Ches also says that it's mutter for a Talmud to be choylik al Rabbi if he has clear rayas. And the Ramah in Yeridea Simon Reish Mem Beis Siv Gimel paskins like this Trumas HaDeshen. However, the Shach over there in Sifkat and Gimel is medayik from the Marik that we mentioned that this is only true if the Talmud became greater or equal to the Rebbe. Now, concerning the drasha that Rebbe made, that Torah, it deserves a certain level of seser. You're supposed to hide Torah. It shouldn't be done publicly. We do find a reference to this lalacha as well. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Mem Vav in Yeridea, Sifchav Beis, he says, anybody who is misyageya in his learning, betzina, in a private place, he becomes a chacham. There's a very interesting tshuva from the Avnei Nezer in Chiluk Evin Ezer, Simen Kuf Pei Tes. Over there, he received a shaila from a very choshuva person, and the Avnei Nezer writes back in his tshuva, why did you send me your letter with Divrei Torah in a Michtav Galui? It was obviously something like a postcard, as opposed to sending him a letter in an envelope. After all, he says, you're sending Divrei Torah, and Divrei Torah is supposed to be done b'tzina. And included in that, Avnei Nezer obviously felt that you need to cover Divrei Torah when you send them in a letter. And even though he was aware that he didn't have money to spend on things such as an envelope, nevertheless, he brought a raya from Kvod Yomtif that we find in the Gemara that the mila of Kvod Yomtif is greater than the mila of being careful not to waste money of Klal Yisrael. So too, over here, we're dealing with the issue of Kvod HaTorah. Seser is a function of Kvod HaTorah, and therefore you should spend money to make sure that it's covered and that it's not sent begolui. In the Shalos HaTshuvos Mishnah Halachos, in Chilik Dalet, Simen Chof Ches, he's actually asked about the minig of the Ragachavar who used to send Divrei Torah in a Michtav Golui, meaning in a postcard. It wasn't a letter that was inside an envelope. So what does he do with the Avnei Nezer's psak? Writes the Mishnah Halachos that definitely even the Avnei Nezer did not aser mitzad ha'alacha. He didn't feel that it was la'alacha aser to do such a thing. Because it's pashut that when Chazal say that Divrei Torah tzrichim tznias and hastara, that only means that he shouldn't learn b'farhesya because of yura, it's gaiva, or because of ayin hara. Like the Luchas Rishonis, the Gemara says that they were only broken because they were given b'rash, as opposed to Luchas Shnias, that they had a certain level of tznias, and therefore they remained. But to send Divrei Torah in a letter is not really included in this Isser, because there's no chshash yura, there's no gaiva involved, and there's no chshash of ayin hara. Befrat, he says that in the post office, there's many letters that are placed together, and nobody is reading this letter, and that's not called farhesya. Befrat, and that Yisrael is not allowed to read somebody else's mail, because there's a Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom who says that you're not allowed to read other people's mail. You see that he holds, by the way, that you're not allowed to read other people's mail, even if it's an open letter. So a Yid is not going to be reading this letter. A Nachri doesn't understand the Torah that you're writing anyway, so there's no problem. Manavshach. If it's a Yid, he's not allowed to read it. If it's a Goy, he can't read it. So therefore he says that sending a Divrei Torah in an open letter is not a violation of this din, that Divrei Torah needs to be done b'seiser. And he says that there were many ga'inim that you saw that were not makbid on this, and you don't have to be choshish for the psak of the Avnei Nezer. The Gemara uses the story about Reb Chiya and Rebbe to prove that Nezifa of Chachmei Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be for the period of 30 days. Because Reb Chiya was knowing with himself Nezifa for 30 days. And this is a kasha on what the Gemara said earlier, that Nezifa is only for 7 days. The Gemara answers, Nezifa's Nasi Shiny. It's true that a regular Nezifa of a Chacham in Eretz Yisrael is for 7 days, but a Nasi, like Rebbe, is more Chomer. The Marsha asks that the whole Mikar, that Nezifa is only for 7 days, was learnt out from the Maisa of Miriam, whose Tzaras was considered a Nezifa from Hashem. So how could it be that the Nezifa, which is the Hakpada of a Nasi, is more Chomer than the Nezifa Mishamayim? So the Marsha answers that that's why the Gemara, Anamid Aleph, was careful to say that this is only a Zecher L'Dover. It's not a real Mikar. Because the real reason why Miriam was locked up for 7 days was because of Tumas Tzaras and not because of Nezifa. Furthermore, there's a difference when the Nezifa was Goyrim for the entire Klal Yisrael to be held back in the Midbar, and therefore it had a special leniency. But a regular Nezifa from a Nasi could be more Chomer since it doesn't involve holding back all of Klal Yisrael.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.